here at Eastside City Church that we're beginning to tap into some deeper wells. And I don't know about you, but in my heart, I feel that God is moving us into some things that we haven't seen for a while, or for some of you, maybe even ever. And I just want to encourage you to believe God to do more in your life. I'm believing for more healing, deliverances, and other miracles. Why? Because God wants us to be free and to be an example of who he is to the world around us. Amen? Amen. And wasn't it great last week having Israel and Rachel Campbell from Flourishing Church in Los Angeles bless us with that word? I want to know, how many of you have been rewriting your scroll? Now, for those of you that weren't here, or those of you that haven't heard, I want to encourage you that you can go online to our website. We have all of our previous messages archived. You can hear about rewriting the scroll, but I'll give you a little hint. It is about that many of us in our lives have faced things that we've believed for, promises that we've had in our life, and we haven't seen them come to pass. But God today is saying he wants you to rewrite your scroll, because he has even more promises. He wants to fulfill those promises and even more. I know it's touched me. I know I've been marinating in that in my own spirit. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do, because we know that God is the God who keeps his promises. Well, we're going to conclude our series that we started on Easter. It's called It Is Finished. And I want to start today by just reading in the book of Deuteronomy. I know that when you're thinking about the resurrection of Jesus, you're thinking about what Jesus did on the cross. Deuteronomy is probably not where you're going to go, but we're going to dig into it today. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, when Moses had finished giving these instructions to the people of Israel, he said, I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord has promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and the Lord will come over to you, the people, and live there. And here's what I want to focus on, and you must deal with them as I've commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you, and he will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses said this to Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that I swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among their grants of land. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we want to thank you, Father God, for the promises that are in your word. Lord, we thank you that, God, you give us your word so that in the midst of whatever we're facing, we can find hope and encouragement. And so, Father God, today I pray that you would open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our spirits to perceive, Father, what you want to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. See, today we are concluding our series called It Is Finished. And we have to remember this, that when Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, his earthly mission was completed and Satan's control was broken. I love that it says in John chapter 19, in verse 3, it says, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, and it's the wine, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What was finished on the cross? Well, as I shared on Easter, there were three things mainly, but that wasn't the all of it. But first of all, our debt of sin had been paid in full. Who is thankful today that your debt of sin has been paid in full? You don't have to live with it anymore. Secondly, our relationship with God was restored. You see, we were separated from God until that moment, and now we have the chance to be able to not go through a priest, not go through a bunch of rituals. We could meet with God personally. And lastly, the power to overcome sin and remove darkness had been released. God had restored our authority to rule with him over this earth. But you know, there's more to it. Jesus did so much more. And so today, I want to focus on a message called From Fear to Freedom, that God broke fear. Amen. I remember about 10 years ago, I had the privilege of doing a men's retreat in the desert surrounding Las Vegas, Nevada. The area was called the Valley of Fire. And as you descended into the Valley of Fire, it was full of deep red rock, interspersed with cacti and desert shrubs as far as you could see. In fact, I think I have some pictures. I brought them with me today. So you can kind of see this area, the red rock. Let's go to the next photo. I have about two or three of them. There you go. That gives you an idea of where we were camping. I mean, it's gorgeous in its own special way. And so as we were driving into this place, the place we would be staying, I remember for a few moments, my mind drifted to all of the CSI Las Vegas episodes. Anybody back in the day, a CSI fan, you watched them and you saw all that stuff. I mean, that was my wife's favorite series, but I watched it. So I wondered if I might stumble across a crime scene for a little bit. Or I wondered exactly where were they taking me? You know, anyone else have crazy imaginations like that? Sometimes my mind drifts and wanders. Now, when we arrived, I discovered that a large part of the men's group that I was speaking to were active military. And they decided either to sleep in tents or under the stars. And so I kind of had a moment where I was like, are they expecting me to? I didn't know when I got the invitation that this is what was going to happen. But when I was relieved to find out that as the guest speaker, I would be staying in a penthouse, a 20-foot trailer with heat and electricity. Hey, when you're out in the wood, out in the barren desert, that's the penthouse. So I remember after we'd had dinner and we had greeted each other and we shared a bit that night, we had talked around the campfire, we worshiped for a couple hours, told stories. It was time to go to sleep. It was time to grab some shut-eye. And I remember as I drifted off to sleep that evening, I could not imagine everything that was about to change in my life. At about 2:30 a.m., I was awakened out of a dead sleep, not only by the wind, which sounded like a jet airplane as it was revving up its engines for takeoff, blowing around me, but because the whole trailer that I was sleeping in was moving from the desert sandstorm that had invaded the valley. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a sandstorm. That was my first one. I've been in another one. I was in Arizona at one time, and when they come in, they are fast, they are furious, and the wind blows hard. And the wind was so violent, listen to this, as each blast hit the trailer, it would rise the front of it 3 to 5 feet in the air and then slam back to the ground. This happened for almost 90 minutes. And I was wondering, would the trailer collapse? Was it going to roll over with me stuck inside? And I'm sure that night, I believe I probably gave my heart to Jesus again. You know when you're that scared, you're just like, okay, God, whatever it's in my life, I confess it to you. I want to be clear and clean. But just as suddenly as the storm had begun, it stopped. It was finished. And peace returned. But I want to let you take a look at the trailer. For those of you that have done camping, if you look at the supports, you can almost see that they're getting close to a 45 degrees. That's how hard the wind was blowing that night. So I'm not making it up. It was really interesting in the morning to see what had happened. But here's what I want to talk about today. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been in a situation where you were so afraid? I mean, something hit you that you just were like, the fear just began to grip you. I mean, so afraid that you felt paralyzed. I'm sure that most of us have had that. You see, fear and anxiety can come from many directions with differing intensity. From a slow sinking feeling in our stomach, or the sudden loss of confidence. And it can be in yourself, your situation, and sometimes even God. It can be something crazy that grips you, like what I just shared, the wind blowing at night, or the shadows that seem like they have eyes. I mean, if you have imaginations, you probably have felt those that time, but some of us are going to be like, I would never admit that. Or it can be something more serious, waiting on a doctor's report, receiving an late-night call when your child has yet to return home, having a challenging conversation with your spouse or another family member, Or it could be starting a new job or going to a new school, especially when you have not worked for a while or been to college. You see, the problem with fear is that it can become a straitjacket that keeps us from moving forward. It robs people of sleep, keeping their eyes off of what is important. I believe this, that God's desire is to move each of us to new places, new positions, and levels of power in our lives. I'm going to say that again. God desires to move us to new places, positions, and levels of power in our lives. However, fear, if we give in to it, if we allow it to rule our lives, becomes a self-imposed prison by elevating the fear above the promises of God. See, that's why I started out with Deuteronomy. They were on the border. They're about ready to go into the promised land. You see, God has promises for each and every one of us. He wants to take us places, but if we don't deal with fear, it can cause us not to go to that place. In fact, I was listening to a podcast this week, and the speaker made this statement, and it's going to be a little bit shocking. I'm just going to prepare you. It says, worry is worship to the devil. Now, before you shoot me, I said worship to the devil, not of the devil. You see, when I first heard it, I was kind of like, oh, what's this guy trying to say? This is crazy. I'm not a devil worshiper. No, I'm not saying that you are either. But as I thought about it, I realized that what the speaker was communicating was true. See, when we allow anxiety, worry to rule our thoughts, we remove God from the situation by making the challenge more powerful or bigger than God. You see, that's really what the problem or the root problem of fear is that we begin to look at ourselves, we begin to look at the situation, we begin to become very focused on the tree in front of us, and we forget how great and mighty and powerful God is. See, self-focus rather than God-focus is what the devil feeds on. It's what caused him to be removed from heaven in the first place. It is the essence of his kingdom. And one of the greatest problems I believe that is facing the church today is that our faith is very small. Our faith is small because we see our God as small. See, when Jesus said it was finished, he removed every ungodly limitation by breaking the power of fear. It's one of the things that he did at the cross. Every lie was demolished. Every stronghold was broken, so that we could be free to pursue the promises of God over our lives. And as we heard last week, each one of us has great promises. But to see them fulfilled, and here's what my mission in life is, requires us that we have the strength and the courage, first of all, the strength to stand and the courage to move forward. And as we turn to the book of Deuteronomy, this is the challenge that faced Joshua, leading the people of Israel to the promised land. As Moses surrendered the mantle of leadership of the nation of Israel to Joshua, I would guess this, it was probably pretty easy to summarize that he might have had some feelings of anxiety, fear, maybe some worries. See, he was taking over for the man who had led Israel from slavery to the edge of the promised land. We know this about Moses, that God used him to perform miracle after miracle. He wrote the law of the Old Testament. But he not only wrote the law of the New Testament, but he wrote the history of Israel through prophetic revelation. And he even met with God face to face. Have you ever been around somebody where you're just like, man, they are at such an incredible level in their faith, or they're doing things, and you're just like, wow, how could I ever follow that? You see, this was a tough act for him to follow. Yet, the other part of it, he was unable, so here's what Joshua was facing, he was unable to lead those stubborn people to the promised land. Now it was his job, his mission. You see, Moses, recognizing the potential of fear and anxiety, speaks these words both to Joshua and the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God will personally go ahead of you. I want you to know today that God is for you. God is not against you. God's design for your life as you put your trust in him is that he is personally going ahead of you. You see, it may not feel like that at times because we face difficulties, we face challenges. And if you continue to read the Word of God, whether it was Moses, whether it was Joshua, whether it was King David, whether it was Jesus himself, even though they had the promises of God, they didn't do it without facing challenges. And I'm telling you, if Jesus faced challenges, you and I are going to face some challenges too. So he goes on to say, he will be with you. He will never fail, neither fail you nor abandon you. Amen. I still remember in October of 2010 when Jan and I became, my parents became the lead pastors of Eastside City Church. I remember as Pastor Ron handed the mic to me that day, I knew that my life would never be the same. There was hope, there was expectation, but there was also fear as I was not sure I was ready for this new task. And immediately I felt the weight of the responsibility to not only care for and lead our great church, but to carry on his legacy and vision that they had done, my father and mother-in-law. You see, in moments it felt both daunting and overwhelming. And I can imagine that's how Joshua felt, only like by a million times more. See, to move forward, he had to face his fear and believe that God would do what he said he would do, personally go ahead of him while neither leaving him or forsaking him. You see, fear and anxiety are things that every single one of us face at different times of the day, at different times of our life. However, the key is, how do we see fear? Do we believe that Jesus defeated it on the cross? You see, we will either see fear as an obstacle or an opportunity. It will be the thing that either stops and imprisons us from going where God has called us to go, or it will be the challenge, or it will be a challenge that needs to be defeated on our way to victory and to fulfill promises. So how then do we deal with fear and anxiety and worry? In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes this as he's exhorting Timothy, who's now coming into a place of leadership that God is raising up. And he says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." You see, to deal with fear, we need to realize what Jesus has provided for us. First of all, the first word he says is power. Power. Well, what are we talking about? When we bought our last car, I purposely purchased a 4-cylinder powerless engine. Now, some of you may be like, well, why would you do something like that, Pastor Todd? Was it because I wanted better gas mileage? No. It was because my son had recently received his driver's license. And I knew that with that engine, it would be hard for him to hot rod around. Aren't you thankful, though, that your Heavenly Father is not like that? The Bible says that instead of fear and weakness, that we have been given power, a spirit of power. We're talking 1,000-watt thermal nuclear power that blows up the kingdom of darkness. And here's what I believe God wants us to understand. He wants us to use that power. See, the word power in 2 Timothy 1:7 is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis is the root word we get for dynamite or explosive power. That's where that word comes from. It's dunamis. It's miraculous power that comes not from us, but from the Holy Spirit who is in us. But not only does it mean explosive power, it means great strength or godly strength. You know, sometimes we don't just need the miraculous power to do miracles. We need God's divine strength so that we can stand for what God has called us to stand for. Sometimes when we're facing those fearful situations, those worries, we need to tap into the dunamis, the incredible divine strength that God has for us so that we can stand. See, God says, I've not given you a spirit of weakness or cowardice, but I've provided for you this incredible strength to be able to stand or withstand pressure. It comes from within, or who is within us. You see, as we lean into the Holy Spirit through worship, even having times of prayer, speaking in tongues, even quieting ourselves before the Lord, we find supernatural strength. I want to tell you something. I could spend a whole couple months talking about this, but I just want to even say, well, how do we sometimes tap into this? I believe as we worship the Lord. You see, worship is warfare. I want to give you something that I do when I'm dealing with fear and when I'm not sure what to do. When I'm afraid or I go to extreme worship and fervent prayer. I love the song that says, "This is how I fight my battles." How do we fight our battles? We give them to God. We declare God. We speak about God. We talk about God. We pray about God. We look at God. Why? Because the more that we focus on God, we realize He is so much bigger and greater. And then a spirit comes in and we just begin to realize that those difficulties, those problems are much smaller. Because He's so powerful. And His Spirit is within us. And we don't have to walk around in fear and worry and doubt. See, as I worship the Lord, He releases the power of His Holy Spirit and supernatural strength is released. I'm saying this, if you are worrying or feeling afraid, make your house a place of worship. If you're anxious, make your car, your bedroom, your garage a place of worship. And as you lean into the Holy Spirit, I believe this, you will receive His power and His strength. Then it goes on to say that how do we overcome fear and and timidity? The second thing Jesus provided for us to defeat fear and worry was love. Now this is kind of, I know you're probably going like, how does love defeat fear? I've never heard that strategy before. Kind of seems weak, kind of wimpy. Maybe the Beatles were onto something when they said all you need is love. See, the essence, listen to this, the essence of genuine love is selflessness and self-sacrifice. The essence of worry and fear is self-focus and self-preservation. In John 4:18, it says that perfect love or agape love casts out fear. This is the same word for love that is referred to in 2 Timothy 1:7. It's not just any love that defeats fear. It's God's perfected love, His divine love that comes from the Father. You see, when we receive the love that propelled Jesus to give up His life for our redemption and restoration on the cross, we can release that love to others. See, salvation is really dying to ourselves. It's saying, God, I need more of You. And so when we have that love inside of us, we begin to take our eyes off of our own situations, off of what we feel that we need to do, the things that we feel like if we just work a little harder, we do this, we're going to be able to cover it up for ourselves. And God says, no, I don't want your eyes to be on yourself. I want your eyes to be out here. And it allows us to look at the needs of other people and help them and serve them. Have you ever felt like you're in a really terrible place until you hear somebody else's story? And then you kind of feel a little bit guilty about, what am I really complaining about? And I'm not here to diminish where we're at, but God's desire is that we would be full of His perfected love, that we would understand what Jesus did for us and how much He loves us. But when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we said, Jesus, my life is Yours. So God, would You help me see things from Your perspective? Would You help me to get away from myself and put my focuses upon others, serving other people, helping other people, and trusting in You? You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, we don't need to worry about what the future holds because we know that our steps are ordered of the Lord. When we surrender our lives to God, it doesn't matter what people think of us because we know we are His. And when we are filled with His love, it allows us to love others regardless of how difficult they are. Now, growing up, coming from a broken family background, a lot of rejection. I grew up with incredible fear. I mean, I was afraid of everything. When I was even in junior high, talking on the phone with people I didn't know, I just would avoid it. My mom would make me, like, you need to call that. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I was so afraid. I was afraid that the rapture would happen when I became a Christian, and I was going to be one of those who were left behind. I mean, I thought about it all the time. I used to fear that I was going to get cancer. I know we've had a lot of great testimonies. I would spend hours as a kid looking for lumps and things. I'd be always going to my mom like, do you feel that? Do you think that's cancer? She'd just shake her head. But more so, I feared people upset. I feared upsetting people because they might reject me. And here's what happened. When I embraced the love of Jesus, my fear began to eventually disappear. So you need to know this today. Know that you are loved by God, that you are His, that He is just so madly in love with you. And remind yourself that God is for you. I believe there are people, I've seen it for years, Christians that somehow think God is against them. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and He said it was finished, you have a God now that He sent His Son into the world to make that sacrifice. Why? Because He loves you and He's for you. And here's the third thing. Jesus also provided us with a sound mind. What is to be of a sound mind? It means to be self-controlled or self-disciplined, especially in the way that we think. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we need a change of thinking. One of the reasons people struggle with fear is because their minds run wild. When you're afraid, you don't think rationally. We tend not to think logically. I'll still never forget when I came home. When Jan and I were first married, I used to play some pickup hockey. And so the hockey time went from like mid 11 to 12:30 at night. And I remember I came home to our apartment, and I was like, the lights were on. And I was like, oh, my wife waited up for me. And then I walked into our little living room, and she was standing on the couch. And I said, what is going on? She says, I saw a mouse. I saw a mouse. And I said, how long have you been standing on the couch? I don't know, a couple hours? Like somehow, and I know I'm going to probably get people to throw things at me here, but it's just a little mouse. It's not going to hurt you. But I know when it comes to bugs and snakes and mice, people can get very fearful and very irrational. Because that's what fear does. See, illogical and undisciplined thoughts create scenarios that are not grounded in truth. And those bound by fear, or when we're bound by fear, we tend to feed on negative and just crazy outcomes. You see, to be of sound mind requires not being ruled by our feelings and emotions, but being grounded in the truth of God's word. And as we read the Bible, as we meditate on it, as we memorize it, as we declare the Word of God, it transforms the way we think. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I know some of you are like, I thought that was like some philosopher. Yeah, his name was God. It doesn't matter what we feel, but what the Bible declares. You see, when I struggle with confidence, not only do I worship or feel fear attacking me, what I do is I begin to quote the scriptures. You know, if Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and the way that he defeated the devil was quoting the Bible, don't you? I think that's probably a pretty good plan. Yes. I think it's probably a good way to go to. Scriptures like 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Philippians 2:14, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Or no, you will never leave me or forsake me. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous for the Lord your God is with you. Folks, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible declares about us. And I believe this, I am who the Bible says I am. and I will live the way the Bible says I should live. You see, to be free from fear requires an unshakable conviction that is settled in the Word of God. I feel. And God says, this is what it is. It doesn't matter about our feelings and our emotions. And I'm not here to be insensitive to say that we don't have feelings and emotions. God created us that way. But we're not to be ruled by our feelings and our emotions. When Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. So what does this mean for us today? As I close off here today, I declare Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's plan for you today is not to live in fear, but to understand that God has a future and a hope for you. We need to release, He wants to release His power through us. He wants to turn our doubt into faith. 1 Peter 5:7, my wife quoted this in her transition time. Give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because He cares about you. Amen. Are there some people here today that are ready to cast some worries to God? To give Him those things that you're afraid of. To declare that God is bigger. Some of you today, what God is wanting to speak to you and He's wanting to remind you is that He is bigger. So He wants us to take our eyes off of ourselves and fix them upon Jesus and His greatness. You see, too many times in my life, and I'm going to call myself out on this before I talk about anybody else, there are so many times in my life I've fixed my eyes on my challenges, my problems, and my difficulties, and I've minimized who God is. And today I'm telling you that I am in a place in my life where I'm saying, God, You are bigger. And so we need to begin to declare that God is bigger. You need to declare that God is for you. And so here's what I want to do as we close today. Because after I'm done praying, sharing in a moment, we're going to have a small group time at the end of our service. But I just want you, for this moment, if you would, just to even ask yourself, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are feeling like there are some things in your life that you have made bigger than God, would you just raise your hand? Where you're looking around and you realize that you're looking at situations and you felt like those situations are so big because you've forgotten who God is, how much bigger He is. Father, I pray for every hand that is raised today. God, that You would give them a grace today. Lord, that You would help them to see You as greater. In fact, I want you right now, just even where you're at, in your own voice, to just say, God, I declare You're bigger. I say it again, God, I declare You're bigger. And whatever it is, you just give that to Him and say, God, I believe You're bigger than this. And so, Father, we pray today that You would just break off of those thinking, that type of thinking. And Lord, that we would become disciplined. And Lord, that we would declare Your word today. God, I say this, greater is He that is in You, you today that are sitting here, than he that is in the world. We declare it today. And Father God, I just pray, God, that You would release greater freedom. That You would release greater freedom today. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just lift up Your name above every name. God, we declare that You're greater than anything that the enemy can throw at us. And Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with fear today. Lord Jesus, that You would bring them to a place of just, Father God, releasing it to You. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling bound up. God, that You'd break that thing off of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask You today, God, to do what only You can do. And so, Father, we declare, God, You are bigger, You are greater. And we thank You for this today. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.